Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
And how? What's going on, everyone? Kevin from Kevin's Corner coming at you again, man. Somebody said I got better. See, I opened up with a song, a small, short, mini concert before the show. And I was singing a Prince song, Starfish and Coffee, but apparently YouTube didn't like it. So those that are on YouTube might have missed the mini concert before the real show starts. You're welcome. If you follow me on Facebook, there's also a uploading on Facebook. This should probably be a lot clearer. I don't know, though. They might be in cahoots, those two. Yes. Power down his internet feed right when he goes live, especially if he's singing Prince. How dare they interrupt my Prince singing? I need my Prince time. You understand what I'm saying? Dang on it. He's gone too soon, y'all. He left too soon. Lovey. Anyway, now, we got a lot to talk about tonight. So welcome to the show. First things first, hit that like button. Don't forget to share my videos. If you are not subscribed to my channel, please do so. And if you do that, please make sure that you hit the notification button and set it to all notifications, because YouTube will randomly pick and choose who they want to let know about my video. You know what I'm saying? So you got to hit that all button. And even if you do have the all button, they still might not even, you know, let you know about it. So it is what it is. We'll deal with it as we have to. And then also those that have been participating in the Super Chat and giving through the Super Chat, I appreciate all of you. Same thing with my PayPal, my Cash App, all that good stuff. Now, so now that we got all the formalities out the way, oh, and by the way, Extreme Tees, I told y'all, next time I go live, I'm going to be rocking some stuff from them. Word, let's go, Brandon. Now, with that being said, we got a show tonight. Man, I tell you, some good stuff in this one. Been sitting up all night. How am I going to bring all this nonsense to the people? Well, I guess we'll eat this elephant one bite at a time. So let's get it, though. First, we can't start without this. What? Real gorilla. Real gorilla. Real gorilla. Real gorilla. I rock the planet, beating my chest like a silverback. Silverback. I hold the ground, sit my ground on him, I'm a silverback. Silverback. There's some kings in the building. Now I'm about to open up the show with letting us hear from some type of sick primate. Okay. I cannot claim that this human right here is a part of the gorilla clan, okay? Because only, you know, the toughest can be part of the gorilla clan. So we got some type of primate that's hard to identify. Speaking somewhere, saying something that we can barely understand or hear, for all that matters. And that is none other than our fearless leader, Creepy Sleepy. So apparently he had a little meeting where he brought some folks in, some business partners and stuff like that. And he's talking, but I want you to just pay attention to see if it stands out to y'all. I'll let it play and then you tell me what stands out.
Now, Mary, I'm always talking about Corvettes. I don't want to make Ford or anybody else upset. But I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that, was up there. I don't know, man. I think the press thought I was crazy. I enjoyed it so much going up and your new EV factory and that Hummer. Before I talked about Dearborn and the F-150, but that Hummer, my Lord, you guys, have you seen this vehicle?
Model's up to
0 to 3 seconds.
Oh.
0 to 16,
3 seconds, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking for a job, Mary. but anyway, all kidding aside, I'd like to,
don't look at me, y'all. I'm not Kevin from Kevin's Corner. I'm just individual, independent person that's about to fly to another country with my Red Baron hat. Take on a whole different new name. I don't want nobody knowing that I'm from a country that allowed this to happen. That man, okay? I probably look more respectable looking like this than that dude looks sounding like that. Unbelievable. Now, first things first, where do I start? Well, first off, like usual, Joe rambles. We don't know what he's talking about. He's all over the highway. But secondly, did you notice that man sound like he needed medical attention the whole time? Listen to this voice. This man sounds like someone on their last breath. I would expect, good grief, they said I'm buffering again. Hold on, man. Bunch of crap. All right, I know why. Let me see. Let me try this, guys. Let me try this YouTube. See if I can get you right. Okay. Now, that might do it. Said I'm buffering again. I can't believe it, man. YouTube, it's always on Wednesday night, though. That's the funny part. One day we're going to have to switch it up, y'all. I'll be like, all right, guys, let's meet it. 5 o'clock instead of 7:30. Yeah, they won't know. They were like, something. We don't know what to do. Well, I mean, he's supposed to be on at 7:30. Well, what do we do? Anyway, so with that being said, the man seems like he needs medical attention. He seems like, you know, the stench of death is circling him or something. Yeah, this is the voice that you would expect to hear when Nana or Papa is on their last, you know, breath on the deathbed. I'm still blurry. Did I clean up a little bit? Somebody said worse. You sound good, but pixelated. Okay. Okay, yeah. Let me sit back for a second in the B-boy stance before I turn green. Okay. Now what's up, y'all? It said I reconnected. Am I better? Do I need to turn green? Okay. Not yet. We'll save the green for later. Okay, cool. Let's move on. So now, if you listen to his voice, he sounds like he's on his deathbed. Listen to this.
Mary, I'm always talking about Corvettes. I don't want to make Ford or anybody else upset. I might point out, when I went to Dearborn driving that,
I'm scared. So here's the guy who's supposed to be the leader of the free world. We're looking at all these obstacles in the country. We're looking at all these people who would love a shot at the title for America. And here he is talking about some Corvettes and stuff with that big old fat black mask on. Now, this is where virtue signaling could cause you some damage when you already got some breathing problems. Here's a guy who every time he grabs the mic, and yet he throws that mask on, which probably hinders his breathing a bit more, because I don't even like wearing a mask when I'm walking or doing anything. So it restricts my breathing. But here he is out there, and he sounds just like he's on a ventilator. So what do you think, other people who are watching this? I'm not talking about our allies, too. They're probably looking at this going, man, I tell you, man, I don't know if I'm proud to be saying, America's one of our allies right about now, because that dude sounds sickly. Barely able to breathe through that mask. And then the crazy part is it's on there for nothing, because I saw another clip shortly after, no mask, sitting in there around all of them with no mask. And I'm saying, you know, only way they're getting away with this is because stupid people, folks that will watch that and not even catch the fact that they unnecessarily came in there with a mask on, took it off. Only thing he did is inconvenienced his lungs. They got to fight through trying to breathe into that ventilator. These people, man, I tell you. And then we got to deal with this. Remember this guy?
Mr. Putin knows if I am president of the United States, his days of tyranny and trying to intimidate the United States and those in Eastern Europe are over. I'm going to stand up to him. He's a bully, just like the president. And I know he doesn't want me to be president, but to tell you what, when I'm president, things are going to change.
Yes, they have changed, Jill. You hear all that tough talk? Yeah, well, I'm elected. Putin's a bully, just like the president. And if I tell you what, if I'm elected, things are going to change. They have changed, but only for the worse. Only thing that's changed is the way we are not respected on the global stage. Our allies know that he's weak. They will take advantage of him. I guarantee they're probably saying our piggy bank is back online, guys. Yeah, now that Joe's back and the Democrats are in control, the piggy bank is back. All right, now look, we got a study over here for a rare snail that exists in the Brazilian rainforest. We'd like the U.S. to send $7 trillion for that study. Yes, we will. You know what? We're a little strapped tight right now as far as paying into NATO and all of that. Could you spot us, U.S.? Could you? Yeah, we got you. We're doing gender studies over here in Pakistan, and we was wondering if you could give us $250 million for that study. Uh-huh. Our piggy bank's back. So not our enemies look at us as weak, so do our allies. They know we can take advantage of the U.S. if Joe's in there. And yet, what do you think Putin, Xi, all of the rest of these guys, when they hear him barely able to breathe, they see this tough talk before he got elected. But then after being elected, we saw folks run completely all over us over there in Afghanistan. And yet here he is now faced with a decision. He got to be tough on Putin. Let's see how this all is going to work out, because this whole situation that's going on over there is crucial. I mean, this thing could play out so many ways, but I'm going to tell you right now, very, very delicately. So let's start off by getting a little feedback of some people's opinion about the whole situation over there in Ukraine. Here we go.
I mean, I think we're looking at potentially the most significant conflict that we have seen since World War II. When you look at the kind of composition, the size, the capabilities that Russia is building up on Ukraine's border, it suggests that they're preparing for a relatively significant invasion scenario where they could possibly, you know, encircle Kiev and take half of eastern Ukraine. That's something we haven't seen in decades. In many ways, this is President Putin going back to address the outcome of the Cold War. I think he's looking to rewind time, to rewrite the rules of the European Security Order. I think he's looking to mitigate U.S. influence in Eastern Europe and basically to get the United States out of what he sees as his sphere of influence. So,
okay. Now, you know, I'm no fan of Russia or Putin. I will say this. He's a more stern than our leader currently. That is why he respected Trump. That's why Xi, as much as he probably knew Trump got in his way, respected him. Kim Jong-un respected him. You either had to respect him or, of course, you could take the other route. Okay. I think what kept us at peace with Trump is when you look at something like what this lady was just talking about, you have to stop for 1 second and say, regardless of their political ideology, a sovereign country is not going to be okay with enemies sticking their nose in the business of them, and they're not even close over there. We're not over there. We're way over here. Plus, the UN is trying to bring Ukraine into NATO, which then could easily turn into something like us putting our people right there in Ukraine, the backdoor Putin. Now, I don't know about you, but you just got to use some common sense. If I was Putin and they say, well, you know what, we want Ukraine in this, that means we could just set you up shop, our military, right there in Ukraine. I highly doubt that I would say, okay, that sounds good. I trust you guys won't act a fool. Same thing with us. That's no different, man. You got to call it like you see it. So if China or Russia try to set up shop right there on our border in Mexico, we'd have a problem with that. Now, unfortunately, China has set up shop in the U.S. in the form of Biden and that evil, corrupt regime. Yeah, China has set up shop in the U.S., not with military might, but with monetary might. These dudes done came in, and they done compromised so many of these agencies. NBA can't talk about China. The movie industry got to change a whole script so China don't get upset about it. Dang on Joe Biden won't chastise China, and I wonder why. So they might as well be on our border. I mean, they're probably more entrenched in our country than if they were on the border. But the bottom line is we wouldn't tolerate that either. So then my question is, so if NATO and the U.S. knows that, wow, if we wouldn't let that happen, Then my question is, well, why should he let it happen? Now, the squabble with Ukraine and Russia, it goes back. I get it. I'm not saying Russia needs to just take over Ukraine. None of that stuff. I'm not saying that. But the point to where we get involved is very, very fragile. And I say that because once we commit to some type of skirmish with Russia, that be it. That ain't one of those sparring matches. That ain't one of those one and dones. That's one of those whoever lose that scrimmage sets the tone moving forward. And I guarantee you, if it starts, you know, a scrimmage, it's going to turn into a real game. So we got to handle this very carefully. We got to look at big picture. We got to look at long term. We got to look at all these things. And I don't think we got the dude in office right about now that can make that choice wisely. That's my concern. So let's get some more intake about this. Maybe we can help Creepy Sleepy decide what to do. Here we go.
This morning, Iran-backed rebels again attacked Abu Dhabi.
What?
Last night, Chinese warplanes flew close to Taiwan. Right now, Russia threatening to invade Ukraine. Our rivals and enemies are squeezing America. They're challenging President Biden because they think he's weak.
And so do I. I'm not going to sit back and lie just because he's on the home team. Of course, all of this is happening. So did y'all hear that litany of stuff that's going on around the world? So we got what?
This morning, Iran-backed rebels again attacked Abu Dhabi. Last night, Chinese warplanes flew close to Taiwan.
Unbelievable.
Right now, Russia threatening to invade Ukraine. Our rivals and enemies are squeezing America.
They're looking to see what we're going to do. This right now is a pivotal point in our history as a country. Now, I'm not saying overcommit. I'm not saying we need to do something so crazy and drastic to show that we're still strong and that we deserve to be respected. But it starts with the head. It starts with the fact that we got such a weak, feeble leader who can barely hold a press conference, barely breathe, making stupid decisions, caught up in wokeness, more concerned about suppressing votes from conservatives, going after domestic terrorists and all of that stuff, instead of focusing on some real issues. When that whole thing took place over there in Afghanistan, I said, we in trouble. We are in trouble. That sent the signal out immediately to every single one of those actors that he just listed, sent the signal out. Oh, we got a change in regime. They're sorry. And now they're taking advantage of us. So what do? Do we overcommit? Or do we what? Just become weak and then all of a sudden they just start abusing us? This is a pickle we're in. Thanks, Joe.
Challenging President Biden because they think he's weak. These are dangerous times. When the president seemed to okay a minor incursion into Ukraine, he looked weak. Jen Psaki had to walk it back, but the damage was done. The Iranians, or their proxies, have attacked America's embassy in Iraq and used drones and missiles to attack Abu Dhabi twice. No response that we know of from the administration.
So now you get Iran just attacking stuff, embassies and mess like that. Nothing. Nothing. Do you know, if you don't do something, if you don't even, I haven't even seen them come out and do a press conference about that. If you don't do anything, people will keep taking more and more. Why do you think folks keep coming across our border? I mean, is it because we sent a stern warning? No. It's because we're giving false threats. It's because they know that we're not serious. It's because those are all idle threats. You know what? Don't come. Don't come. Our czar, Kamala Harris, remember that one? Didn't even go to the right place. Went down there. I'm going to find out what's going on. Not at the border. That's America. Gives a raggedy speech. If you're out here and you're expecting it to come, don't come. Don't come. And they're like, yeah, that sounded serious. Come on, everybody. Let's cross this river. So what ends up happening is people will continue to push it as far as they can. See, and that's what our enemies are doing right now. And I'm not hearing anything about some of the stuff he just mentioned. Right now, they're focused on, of course, Russia, rather. But the other stuff that he mentioned, I haven't even heard anything about that. Now, imagine if all of these countries start acting up simultaneously. What are we going to do then? Because that appears to be happening. You would have to distribute your resources, and now you're dealing with multiple issues on multiple continents and stuff like that. Boy, life was a lot better under Trump. I'll just say it like that. Continue.
China repeatedly threatens Taiwan, a close American ally. Overseas, we're not doing well. However, with his back against the wall, pressed from all sides, the president appears to be getting tougher, at least with Russia. He's considering sending U.S. troops to Eastern Europe, not Ukraine, Eastern Europe, and extra ships and planes to NATO.
Oh.
There's also a plan to restrict all important computer chip supplies to Russia. Ooh. That would hurt, and so would cutting them out of the international payment system.
Yeah.
There's a plan for that, too.
Uh-huh.
He has himself to blame for this back-to-the-wall situation. For the past year, his policies seemed incoherent, and his performance in public inspired no confidence. But he is our president, and in dangerous times, it's time to rally around. Let's hope his newfound toughness with Russia works.
We'll see. Because honestly, yes, the home team, because we're the U.S. I don't want us to be abused. I don't want us to be taken advantage of. But, you know, here's the scary part of this whole situation. We don't know who's running Joe. That's the problem. It's one thing to support a president that, you know, is independent, is actually calling the shots. But when you have a figurehead, when you have a puppet up there, and then behind him you got war hawks, you got all types of companies and stuff that's influencing this, you got all of these things that's going on that doesn't really regard the life that could be lost from this, young soldiers going off, all of these things that could kind of spiral out of control is a concern for me, knowing that Joe's not the man that's really making that choice. There are others behind him. So we need to pray for our country, for our military. We need to get the stupidity as far as virtue signaling and being woke in the military and searching for white rage. Like Millie said, I want to know about white rage. Forcing our military folks to get vaxxed, all of this stupid stuff, to where I was in the military and these things became a threat. And yet, I'm being hit not only with the possibility of going off and fighting something that we don't need to be fighting, but also fighting against folks in my own crew. Hey, Captain, I don't want to get that. Well, you're going to have to, or we're going to have to get rid of you, and this and this and that. So it seems like, you know what? Morale is down because you got a regime that's forcing us to do stuff, don't support us, got folks looking into our political views, and then to top it off, you want us to go out and possibly get into some crap with a country, and yet I don't feel like my own country even supports me. This is a bad situation, man. Our president is not patriotic. We know he's filled with greed. We know he's tainted with corruption. We know he's been compromised. We're in a mess. Heavenly Father, I come before thee asking grace upon this country in Jesus' name. So now let's move in to how folks are feeling about Creepy Sleepy. And not just us. Listen to this, guys.
Zay was designed to kick off a second-year reset of his presidency, recapture his political identity, if you will. But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit.
What? This is Chuck Fraud. Chuck Fraud from MSNBC talking about some reset and stuff. And Biden, there's no reset in that. Biden is not going to get a reset. That computer's done. No more reboots for that one. Throw it out the window. He's that old school floppy disk computer. You know what I'm saying? That mug should have been retired anyway. That's what they did to us, y'all. They brought us an old school floppy disk computer and want us to respect that mug. Stick that disk in, start it up, and you already know. 45 seconds, maybe longer. Then when it boots up, you got that cursor. You can't even see no windows. You got to type in all the demands. doc:// /.. I remember those, man. Uh-huh. My attention span bailed out on that computer immediately. Immediately, y'all. One of the fellas in our neighborhood was privileged. He got that thing. We came over. Hey, Benji, what's that? It's a computer. What does it do? Watch. By the time it booted up, I was halfway out the door to play football, sitting there listening to her. Well, that's what we're dealing with Joe. Talking about something. Maybe he can reset his career. No, it's over. That career is over. Throw it out the window.
No longer seen as competent and effective. No longer seen as a good commander-in-chief or what? Perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president.
What? Did you hear that come out of Todd? Or was it, yeah, Todd? I think that's his name, whatever his name is. I forget his name. I just had it that was a second ago. Anyway, that guy just said only 5% adults think that Biden's doing a good job. Chuck, thank you. Yeah, reversing it. Chuck Fraud. That's how I messed up because I gave him a nickname, Chuck Fraud. So Chuck Fraud said that only 5% of Americans actually thinks he's doing a good job. Now, you do understand that. That's adults, okay? We ain't talking about Antifa and all of them. We're talking about full-blown adults. They're sitting back saying, this dude sucks. 5%. Now, the irony of this is this man allegedly goes from being the most popular president of all times down to the least popular president of all times under a year. And they want us to believe that narrative was true in the beginning. Soon as they stuck him in there and they came out and said that, I was like, that's a lie. That's a lie. Now we got somebody waiting to chit-chat with me for a quick second, so let's take a call before I finish dealing with Chuck Fraud. Here we go. Let's see. Caller, you're live on the air with Kevin and Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Kevin, it's Sonia Scrapbook. How are you?
Sonia Scrap to the book, y'all. Hey, guys, this is Sonia Scrapbook. I actually featured a couple of clips a couple weeks back on my live show. Channel called Sonia Scrapbook. So if y'all haven't checked out her channel, please do it. Subscribe to it. She's great. Love her content. She got the smoothest, coolest voices. Cooler than the fan, man. Cooler than the fan. So tell me, Sonia, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I feel like we can't catch a break because crisis was averted when they managed to prevent that horrible bill that Manchin and Sinema, you know, blocked for the federal mm-hmm. voting stuff. And yeah. Now we have all of a sudden, when the poll numbers are showing how badly Biden is doing, when people cannot stand Kamala and they're saying so, when the media is giving them, you know, the hard time they gave Trump, when everything mm-hmm. is so obvious, right? And now all of a sudden a Supreme Court justice wants to step down?
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Yeah. I heard that. In fact, I was going to do a standalone video on that after tonight's show because I had already formatted my show out. But that is a concern big time. I just heard about it today. What do you think about that?
Well, I was a little confused because they said, appointed in 1992. So I don't know if this is like a normal time frame. I mean, Ruth didn't want to leave until the last day. So what's his rush? And I think he was appointed by Clinton, so we know what side he's on. So it doesn't really matter because if he stayed put, he's still going to vote the liberal way, right? Yeah. And they're going to replace him with another liberal. But maybe they'll put a crazy leftist liberal. And, of course, they're demanding that they put in a black woman because I think Biden had made that promise during his campaign, which is fine because they all think alike. I mean, they said they want everybody represented, but as we all know, that didn't work out too well with Kamala being in there, so I really don't see the point. I know they want to stack the court, so I'm nervous because word on the curb is that this is their way of getting Hillary in and possibly giving Kamala that job.
Well, I watched a clip today right before this, and the lady was asking about that. They asked the White House about it. They were like, you know, what's the chance of them – putting Kamala Harris in. One, I think you are right on point. And I do smell a rat in this whole situation. Simple fact, I looked at that Supreme Court justice, and that dude doesn't look like he is in a condition where he feels it's necessary to retire. I don't know what they're doing to make him go ahead and just sit down somewhere. Maybe they gave him a nice little cushion payout or something. I'm not sure.
A deal he couldn't refuse?
A deal, yep, exactly. Because I think it's going to be a bait and switch. I think what they're saying already, Kamala is too hot to touch right now. She sucks. So therefore, how can we get rid of her without looking like we are cutting loose this black woman, first female president, vice president. There's a lot of fallout that could come from them just getting rid of her as a vice president because she sucks. So a more tolerable way to get rid of her without having her go off and tell everybody that I was fired, because you know what will happen. I was a black woman. I wasn't respected. She would throw her own folks under the bus, just like she threw Biden under the bus during the debates. So,
she's not respected according to her because she's a black woman, or that's what she'll say. And Biden, because he's the being treated like a black man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you hear that? Did y'all hear that, audience? Biden is being treated like a black president. Hilarious.
Right.
Come up with. Yeah. But if they were to get rid of her in a way to where their base would still think she's applicable and would almost look at this as a step up or promotion, then that's an easier transition for them. And then you could also minimize her reaction to being technically fired. So it won't come across firing her. No, this is more important than being a VP. Yeah, we need more.
Because it's a lifetime thing.
There you go. And so I can see them doing that. But see, here's the problem with that, man. She sucks. She's so unpopular. We already know.
She was horrible when she was interviewing that woman, Amy Coney Barrett. She asked her some ridiculous questions. I know that she's in the legal, field, but I just cannot see her at that level. But then how dare we say that when we know that Sonia was, spreading misinformation. So she's not the only one, I guess, who would be misinformed about stuff. But she'd be easy to manipulate.
Easily. Because I guarantee you, if they put her in as a Supreme Court justice, they've already vetted her and gave her kind of like their strategy of what they expect out of her. It ain't going to be one of those autonomy. You want you to go in there, make decisions based solely off of the law. No, it's going to be, our agenda. We're going to get you in there and you help implement that. And God forbid we lose another one. If we lose another one to where they can get the majority on these Supreme Court justices, we are in trouble. Now, here's what we still have going for ourselves, I think, in this case. They haven't passed any legislation to expand the Supreme Court. So they'll replace one liberal with another one that will probably be more outspoken, big mouth, more in the public's eye, all of that stuff. We still have the majority if those Supreme Court justices have backbones. That's my concern. They haven't been strong enough, those conservative judges. They've kind of bent a little bit. And then my final thought on that is this. How can we say we are a fair, balanced, equal country, whereas, and we're colorblind, whereas Biden promises to nominate a black woman? Didn't even say I'm interviewing, talking to multiple people. I mean, can you imagine if Trump would have said, I'm promising to nominate a white man?
Right.
It's ridiculous, man. So,
but it doesn't change the odds, does it, right? Because they'll just swap in her. It's still the same amount of conservative judges versus liberal, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But
yeah.
What would it take to pack the court? All of them to approve something or whoever they...
They would have to change, I guess, some of the rules in the Constitution. That would go through Congress.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, so a lot of
it's not like Kamala would be able to make any changes like that.
Right.
But you think Hillary's going to get in there? That is like my
worst
nightmare.
That is my worst nightmare, too. Yeah, that's when I might seriously be looking at another country at that point. But are you saying as far as her getting in as what, the vice president or running?
Yes, I think that's the way they're trying to slip her in because then Biden could choose her. I don't know about who would be president, how that works. The Congress would have to pick. Could they make her president? Oh, no, maybe that's what they want. They put her in the number one seat. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
Either way.
That would be all the way back. Now, here's a thought. Here's a thought for you.
Yeah.
My thought is this. Hold on, wait a minute. I think my Facebook feed just stopped. I don't know what happened. All right, anyway, we'll see. I know. They're trying to say I had music copyright. Hold on. Let me see some bunch of bull crap. Make me mad. All it was a karaoke song. Make me so mad. I got to get my my YouTube audience back. One second, and we are, they're back. All right, so I really, as you sit back and you know, you talk about these things, back to YouTube, I'm sorry I got kicked off because they said I violated a copyright cut. So welcome back. Now, as you sit back and you talk about this, I understand how a villain would possibly go this route. When you got Kamala, who's unpopular, Joe probably got one foot in the grave. So you got a problem. You got a void that you need to fill. And you can't fill that void with Kamala because she's unqualified. You can't cut her loose maliciously because then you'll get a reaction from all these precious minorities that you claim you love. So a smooth transition, knowing that Joe's on the way out, is to slide Kamala into a position where she'll keep her mouth shut and can still be useful, and then bring in a Hillary who seems like she might have a little more longevity than Joe. I think they know something about Joe. I think they know they can't keep tricking us with, well, not us, but people with Joe too much longer. So they got to start.
The timing is suspect, yep.
Yeah, they got to start getting ready for that fallout. Because when Joe goes, somebody got to be there to replace him. And Kamala's not that person. So you're dead on. I think that's what they might be up to. But if they slide Hillary in, oh, we in trouble. She's more vicious than Joe. So I feel you. That's a tough one. Probably am going to do a standalone about that. And you know,
the policies will still be bad. And they'll still be, you know, terrible, but at least she will be able to stay alert during a press conference. That will be the only difference.
That will be the
only
difference.
Ruthless.
And she's ruthless. Yeah. That too. Yeah. She would be quicker to go ahead and say, let's go to war, than probably Joe. And on one end, you look at Joe, there are people behind him making this decision, but the man, he's not strong mentally. He goes in and out. Her, she is cognitively corrupt and evil. She knows everything.
Evil, like the fruits of the devil.
Yep, she is a mess. Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to schedule our own live chat one of these days, and we can set it up.
We will.
Let's do it.
Yep, that would be a good idea. I know. It's on my book. I just have to figure out the technology. I got a little webcam, and I'll work it out.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's do it. ASAP, let's reach out to each other afterwards, and we'll set something up if we can, okay?
All right, and, good. Thanks, Kevin, for taking my call. Good show.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, find her on YouTube, actually, under Sonya's Scrapbook. And she's made some good points. She brought up some stuff that I wasn't scheduled to talk about tonight, but these are some serious things we're looking at. Because if Joe goes down and Kamala gets in, that's a wreck. They know that is a train wreck for all of them. So, yeah, we might be looking at the old bait and switch. I don't know why that Supreme Court justice just randomly decided to step down. All of this seems a little suspicious. That is all I'm saying. Now, let's get back to Chuck Fraud. Here we go.
One of the many lowest, firsts, and fewest in our poll. And as we kick off our Meet the Midterms coverage heading into November, the NBC News Political Unit developed what we're calling a midterm meter. It's based on previous election cycles. It's basically three poll numbers you need to know best. I'm going to start with perhaps the most important number to understand the direction of the midterms. It's job approval here. The president's job approval rating sitting at 43%. If you look at history, history shows that kind of presidential approval rating leads to a shellacking for the party in power. How about the mood of the nation? Well, let me show you this right now. Our wrong track, the nation's on the wrong track number, sitting at 72%. Second poll in a
good, you know what? This is a special word. Good googly mood. Okay. 72% of Americans feel that we're on the wrong track. And I question that number. I question that number. It's probably more like 92%. I want to know. I want to hear from the liars. I want to hear from all of those folks who swarping down Chuck. Joe Biden's going to change everything. He's going to bring us back, y'all. I wonder if they were honest with themselves. Would they look us in the eye and say, I feel like we on right. What was that? What was the last word? I said we on the right trip. Is that trip or track. Drug trap. You can't say it, can you? I said it. They would have to look you in your eye and lie to you. You would have to be completely dumb to say, I voted for Joe. I was excited. I said the last dude was an animal, all of that stuff. And now I'm happy with my choice as inflation continues to skyrocket. Happy with my choice as we're on the brink of a possible war with Russia. Happy with my choice as our borders are blew open. I'm happy with my choice as we have to still walk around with crap. Happy with my choice, man. It's hard to lie to somebody with a straight face like that. And I really feel like tracking down every single person that argued with me on Facebook. Yeah, we got rid of Trump. Things are going to get better now. Yeah, where they at? I ain't heard nothing from them, crickets.
A row where we've been over 70%. This is only the third time in our polls history over 30 years where we've had two tracks that were that off. That, again, would put you in shellacking territory for
shellacking
the party
territory.
In power.
Ivan. Don't hear that. I like that right there. Oh, yeah. Let's put them Democrats in shellac. That's right. Democrats in shellac. Put them in that shellacking territory. I want it to be such a horrific beating. And I mean horrific, to whereas they learn a lesson. They need one of those. Now think about it. Pop your kid in the mouth, sit him in that corner, and tell him, think about it. Uh-huh. Until you get the epiphany, what to do and what not to do. I want it to be convincing. I don't want no close whatever, so they can, you know, tweak some stuff or make some arguments. Well, it was close. We want recounts and we want... I want every one of their candidates to lose by like 2 or 3 million votes per candidate to where you're going, man, it ain't even worth trying to lie on this one. We got smashed. Make an example out of them. Now, even overseas, y'all, even overseas, they see what's going on. Listen to this.
Tonight, Joe Biden gave his first press conference of the year, and it quickly became obvious why they have become such a rare event. What? He was confused, incoherent, bizarrely angry at some point, and pretty much an enormous embarrassment. It is evident that the president is incapable of grasping the reality of what is happening in America right now, from the border crisis to soaring inflation to record COVID numbers. He attempted to outline his domestic and international agenda, and even with some soft questions from the media, he failed to articulate how things were going to get any better.
So now Australia, even though we're looking dumb, down there, down under. Hello, Mike. Put another piece of shrimp on the barbie, all right? All of that going on down there. They got time to look all the way up here to see Creepy Sleep trying to give a press conference and make a move of himself. And now I'm embarrassed. I got to watch this.
Of course you have to be concerned when you have, you know, nuclear power invading. If he invades, it hasn't happened since World War II.
Man.
Some of those consequential things happened in the world in terms of war and peace since World War II.
Well, in fact, Russia invaded Ukraine in 2014, Joe, and you were vice president back then, and Ukraine was your special project. So
Oh, my God. Yeah, since World War II. Yeah, this is crazy. What? Wait, they invaded during my vice presidency? Where was I?
Well, you were over Ukraine during that time.
I was. Well, son of a gun, I was. I was too focused on getting that $1.3 billion deal for me and Hunter. Man, that's what it was. I was more focused. Instead of stopping corruption, I was more focused on making sure Hunty has an $80,000 a month job doing nothing. That's why you probably missed all of that. And now he's the president, and he's up there talking about some since World War II. But yet on his watch, Russia did the same thing. Boy, that's why I'm telling y'all. Get on in the ship, because it's going to rain, y'all. Let's have a church break. Come on in the house. It's going to rain. Come on in the house. It's going to rain. Drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop. That's right, man. I feel like we need to get on the ark and just bounce, because it's going to rain. Boy.
Obviously forgotten all about that. And Biden appears to be in denial about his awful poll numbers and his even worse job performance.
I don't believe the polls.
Thank you for your time, Kosha.
Such an expanded answer. I don't believe the polls. Next. Man, this right here, if it wasn't so serious, would be funnier than it already is. That man blew right past that whole question. What about the post? I don't believe the post. Next. All right, let's hear if she brought in somebody else with an opinion. So let's hear if the Australian lady who's speaking to this American lady, you know, maybe she'd give us a little more clarity on what's going on. Here we go.
What did you make of Biden's performance, and did you watch the entire two-hour catastrophe?
I went for the Cliff Notes version. Rita, good to be with you tonight. Look, Joe Biden is not an exemplar of great oration. He never has been. And as you know, and you do so well, the currency of broadcast media and sort of public speaking to an audience through a screen is this ability to be able to take large amounts of often very complex information and condense them down into digestible, persuasive bites.
Now that woman, Alfica, she must be a linguistic expert. She's telling us all about the breaking down and the megabytes and Hittites and the Jebusites and stuff that goes into a speech. So maybe she can go ahead and give us the simplistic version. Here we go.
And he did not do that. Now, if you put the stylistic aspects of it aside, in terms of substance, you know, why should your viewers care about this? And what is it telling us about this moment in American politics right now? This is a kickoff to the midterm election year. The Democrat Party has razor-thin margins. They hold the House by a margin of 11 seats, and the Senate is pretty much at a deadlock. And he is trying to reclaim the narrative as we kick off this election year, reclaim the narrative and take control of it. And you could argue that it's a little bit of a fool's errand because the country is so divisive right now, increasingly polarized, as you know, increasingly divisive. And one press conference would be impossible for anyone to move the needle on, let alone somebody who isn't great at public speaking.
She's hitting that right on the head, smart lady. Yeah, I might have had to get a dictionary to understand the first part of what she was saying, but she summed it up. She simplified it as she went on. So let me get this straight. They're barely leading in the 400-yard dash, and the Republicans are right on their tail. What I'm expecting, that last leg coming up into 2022, is them to run completely out of gas, and we run right past them. I want us to be in the stance unlacing our shoes before they finish the line. That's right. I want them to get beat black and blue. X is over the eyes like in the cartoons, man. So, yeah, it's too late. The only thing they can do is something crazy, and that's my concern. When it comes down to these Democrats, the biggest concern I have is all of the resources that they have to help support them doing something drastic and evil, corrupt. So they will do it if they think they can get away with it, and it will be supported by the compromised DOJ, the compromised FBI, the compromised liberal media. They feel they can do stuff like that and get away with it. Look what they did to us November 3rd. That was on a mega scale. And the only reason they're not all in shackles is because the people that could have put them in shackles were on their squad. That's it. So I do not put it past them at all. You cannot tell me in 2022 that we will not beat the mess out of these dudes. And if it doesn't happen, something happened. You know what I mean? If it doesn't happen, something happened.
And then on top of that, he's working against his backdrop of pretty big negatives as reflected in his polls. You know, inflation is at an all-time high, the supply chain crisis, law and order crumbling in this era of social media, where we've all seen those clips of Louis Vuitton stores being raided and on the list goes. So it's very difficult for him to do that, but this is an attempt by him to try and reclaim that and take control of the narrative coming into this year.
So it was a lazy effort. One last punch while you're getting beat to death. We've all seen it. Somebody out there in a street fight getting it. Bing, 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 bing. On the way to sleep. And that one reaction, one last ditch effort as they're falling and going to sleep at the same time. It hits nothing. It hits nothing. It's nothing more than muscle memory and a reflex. So now he's back out there as he's getting knocked completely out and come out and do that raggedy press conference with that lazy swing like, you ain't going to be boop. And then when you hit that canvas or the concrete, that arm is still in form, see? Whole body locked up. Sleep with the arm straight out. Rapid eye movement.
All right, here we go.
Talk about his lack of communication skills, but I think that's a sign of that cognitive decline we hear so much about, because we've seen him over decades, and he wasn't always like this. He could communicate very well and impart complex detail to those listening, and now he seems to really struggle. Even with an auto cue, he seems to often be utterly incoherent. Let's hear what he had to say about the botched Afghanistan.
See, this is why I love this lady from down there, man, from down under, man. I'm telling you, when she is doing her commentary, you hear all this, the words she's sliding in. Now, the reason I can appreciate this is because her descriptions of Biden are accurate. When I hear the fake news, which they're calculated to, and they would throw little inserts and little terms and words in there and adjectives to describe, say, Trump or, you know, Republicans. And if you were fair and you studied certain people in politics, you'll say, okay, that right there is designed strictly for propaganda because it's the opposite of what this person is. This stuff she said is exactly what Joe is. See, that's the difference. If you sit back and you're out there like, you know, Donald Trump is, he's an imbecile. He can't speak good and all that stuff. And I'm going, imbeciles don't make billions of dollars. Imbeciles don't beat the whole Democrat Party and some Republicans that were trying to stop him too. Imbeciles don't come in and take our economy from being mediocre to the best it has ever been. Imbeciles don't keep us out of war for his whole 4 years. Imbeciles don't come up with ideas of how to shut down the leak at our border. Imbeciles don't do that. But imbeciles do do what Joe has been doing. So everything she's describing, I'm saying, I'll allow it. Yeah. So when the Democrats come to my chamber, Judge, Your Honor, objection, no, sustained. I'll allow it. Continue. Let's see.
There is no way to get out of Afghanistan after 20 years easily. Not possible, no matter when you did
my head
it.
On that one.
I make
know.
No apologies for what I did.
What do you think about that response? Would he be better off acknowledging some of the mistakes that were made with that withdrawal, because they did botch it fairly comprehensively, rather than just say, this is the best we could do?
You raise a fair point. You know, we've seen him for 47 years, and you're right that he's definitely past his prime in terms of cognitive ability. I think that's undeniable, and he probably had a baseline level of communication before. But I think we're in this post-apology stage of American politics, and when the electorate is as divided and polarized as it is, I think one of my takeaways from this press conference was it had an air of defiance, where he's sort of sticking to his on every position, regardless of how different factions of the electorate might see it. And I think that's a signaling of the strategy, which is all going to be about turnout and pushing the causes that his base, that resonate with his base, and sort of trying to sweep under the rug things like this that are not resonating very well, even with independents and certainly center-right portions of the electorate.
You know what? The lady from Australia has a point. How can you arrogantly get out there and say, I have no regrets about what took place in Afghanistan? Now you're just asking for it. Now you're just saying, you know what? That whole thing that I did sparked off this right here. That's what it did. Let's go, Brandon. Not from old fogies, not from white nationals. This stuff started college students, young adults, older folks. Why do you think this all started, Joe? You think we were all happy about the way you handled that in Afghanistan? That's why we start saying that? You think we all said that's an acceptable loss, those 13 soldiers that were blew up? Acceptable. You made the right call, Joe. You think all these Americans were sitting around saying, hey, you had to leave all of those Americans. I mean, it was greater than you, Joe. We understand. No, even folks that didn't vote for Trump was looking at that saying, that was botched. And to come out and say you don't feel you did anything wrong with people from overseas, other countries, other leaders, fake news, all of those folks were saying you did something wrong. And here he is going, I didn't do nothing wrong. Man, that man is delusional completely. But you know what it is? This is a bonsai move. This man knows that we're going down in flames. So guess what? I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to tell folks I'm sorry. I get it. Top, as a politician, it's very tricky when you apologize for something because you might come across weak and all stuff. But then there's those times where just the respect of the loss of life as a result of your bad choice maybe soften the apology a bit, but no apology at all. This dude came out like, did nothing wrong. Boy, for that alone, I don't care what I have to say about Joe. I'm not going to sit back and tiptoe around his cognitive decline. And you shouldn't be saying that about Joe. It's not funny. His brain doesn't work right. I don't care. His brain worked good enough to get up there and say that. So I'm going to let him have it. I don't care if he's going through mental decline. I'm going to let him have it. And you know who else is going to let him have it? My girl, y'all. Oh, she got me all on sensitive. Wait a minute. Wasting my time, spending my dimes. Yeah, you know who it is. Talking to a black and blue Britney. Doo-doo-doo. God dog it. Stupid old YouTube. Now I got to reconnect through the Wi-Fi, y'all. And y'all back. Y'all back. Welcome back. Because I want to get next to you. See, y'all missed that part. Okay. So Brittany, she's about to help us. Here we go.
Not long after a gunman held up a handful of Jewish worshipers in a Texas synagogue for hours while demanding the release of a Muslim terrorist from prison,
what?
Joe Biden's FBI announced the incident was not specifically related to the Jewish community.
You mean Joe Biden, Gestapo, those dudes? Uh-huh. So those woke FBI agents that should be loving their country, should be doing the right thing, they went down there and did what?
Even though the guy holding the gun was a Muslim, was demanding the release of a Muslim terrorist, and had chosen a synagogue full of Jewish people as the platform for his standoff with the police.
Well, that's not suspicious at all. So here I am. I'm the FBI guy in training or something like that. All right, sir. This next exercise, we're going to give you some scenarios and some facts, and we want to see how you draw conclusions. Okay. This is on the test, right? Yeah, yes, on the test. So what conclusions would you draw if, say, a man who snuck into our country from the Middle East happens to be Arab and Muslim, he breaks into a synagogue, holds them captive, and demands you release another terrorist. What conclusions would you draw from that? I would think that man probably was treated unfairly on his job. And on the way home, he just got mad and said, you know what I mean? Everyone's going to pay for me getting fired. That's why I went in there and demanded for that Muslim terrorist to be released. And that's, see, I would fire an FBI agent if they weren't able to draw that conclusion, unless it's a woke FBI. So let's see what they drew, what conclusions they came up with.
We're to believe he just randomly picked that because, I don't know, it was closer than the Baptist church down the road. Funny how leftists see racism in the most arbitrary places, except the most obvious ones right in front of them. Roads are racist, but attacks on synagogues aren't. Every white dude with an AR and a pickup truck is a Nazi, but the Muslim who holds the gun to the Jew's head is just a mentally disturbed individual, and we shouldn't determine a motive right away. Or maybe. Racism, according to the left, is just a political football to be kicked whichever direction best suits their purpose at the time, and this one didn't.
Come on, don't stop. Give it to me.
Malik Faisal Akram is now dead after being shot by an FBI team who breached the Congregation Beth Israel Synagogue in Coleyville and managed to free the victims, all of whom were thankfully unharmed. During the 11-hour-long standoff, Akram, whose name I probably butchered and don't really give a rip, was demanding the release of Afia Siddiqui, a terrorist who's been in Fort Worth prison for the past 10 years for trying to kill a U.S. Army captain in Afghanistan. According to reports, Akram had traveled to New York from the U.K. just a few weeks ago, spent a little while in a homeless shelter, and had planned out the attack well in advance.
So now I'm putting all this together as the FBI guy, right? I'm like, oh, well, that's a tough one. I need more information before I conclude, okay? Somebody said I'm going blurry again. Oh,
I might have to go ahead and get a direct feed right into my phone from the internet. Makes me so mad. Anyway, here we go.
Two teens in England have now been arrested in connection with this incident. Okay. Details from that story are still developing. But Akram had mental health issues, and none of this had anything to do with Jews specifically, or at least that's what we were told. FBI special agent in charge, Matt DiSarno, said on Saturday that they believed Akram was singularly focused on one issue, which was not specifically related to the Jewish community.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community, but we're continuing to work to find motive.
Now, after having finally figured out that 2 plus 2 does in fact equal 4, the FBI has done an about-face and confirmed that this was in fact a terrorism-related incident in which the Jewish community was targeted, saying in a statement, and I quote, "This is a terrorism-related matter in which the Jewish community was targeted and is being investigated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force." Really? And while we're at it, water is wet and Nancy Pelosi's eyebrows are fake.
Y'all,
she loves me, it's specially different, every time she gives me.
That's right, Brittany, man, she touched me. She said water's wet and Aunt Nancy eyebrows are fake. I didn't know that. You kidding me? I've been watching Nasty Pelosi this whole time thinking those were her real eyelashes and eyebrows. And I also didn't recognize the Botox in her face. And I sure enough don't recognize when she's drinking that vodka. Oh, yes, that's good, Nancy. That's good. Let's continue, though.
We're just stating obvious facts now. You're saying that a Muslim walked into a Jewish synagogue and took a bunch of people hostage for hours, and it might have been a targeted attack on the Jewish community? You don't say. Because here was Joe Biden, totally stymied by why an Arab dude would hold up a bunch of Jewish folks in their place of worship on the Sabbath.
Now, guys, this is why this clip made, besides Brittany and her commentary, but this is why this clip made the cuts tonight. I want you to listen to what Joe says carefully. Check this out.
I don't think there is sufficient information to know about.
Now, notice this. See, I got to dissect this a bit. I don't think that there is sufficient information to know about. Listen to the information he currently has, because he just said not sufficient information. But he's going to give you a list of the information that he has. Now, the information that he's about to give you, please tell me what logical conclusion could you draw from it?
Why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli comments. We just don't have enough facts.
This dummy just gave us the facts. This dummy just gave us everything to draw conclusions that this motivation was terrorism. Here he is. You know what? It's too soon to draw conclusions. Who knows why he bust through the door and said, Allah Akbar, and, pulled out his gun and said, death to all Jews and infidels. Who knows what motivation is? Too soon to tell. Too soon to tell why he asked another terrorist to be released. And it's too soon to understand why he picked the synagogue on Sabbath day to go in. And he's calling them names and stuff like that, but just too soon to come to those conclusions. You just gave us all the information we needed to come to that conclusion. This idiot just straight up walked us straight into the conclusion. But I question if his brain realized that. He listed all the elements that would make someone deduce that this dude's motivation was terrorism. And at the end of that, it's just too soon to come to those conclusions, as I just did with all those facts that I just listed to you. But went right over Joe's head.
Look, I've been in the news industry long enough to know that you wait for information to come out before making snap judgments, especially in the case of mass shootings or hostage situations. Usually there's more to the story than can be posted on Twitter in the first 45 seconds. And you know what? There very well may be more about this insane and now dead dude than we peons out here in the public know at the moment. But I can also puzzle out that if something looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, chances are it's a freaking duck.
Oh, now, Brittany, yeah, man. So wait, you telling me that whole time I've been watching Donald Duck? All that time, he's a duck? Man, I thought that dude was a chicken. That's crazy, man. I thought chickens make that sound. But I guess they're ducks. Thanks for the revelation, Brittany.
And when a Muslim picks a synagogue as the stage for a standoff with law enforcement to demand that they release a convicted Muslim terrorist from federal prison, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on here. The guy didn't target a Walmart or a bowling alley or a Dick's Sporting Goods. He went after a synagogue on the Sabbath. That's pretty specific. You'd think that this would be obvious to a political party that sees racism in just about everything, who can't look at a rope pulley in a garage without seeing a noose, and who sees a card-carrying Nazi in every white person who doesn't vote their way. Leftists have screamed racism over everything from innocuous hand gestures to white people doing yoga, but we need to wait to figure out the motive of a radical jihadi who is making radical jihadi threats and demanding the release of a radical jihadi prisoner while holding up a synagogue on the Sabbath.
Oh. Brittany, girl, you know what, man? I had some problems. Doom, doom. And no one could seem to solve them. Doom, doom. But you found the answer. Put your lighters in the air. And told me to take a chance and learn the ways of common sense. That's what we have to learn. Common sense, man. I'm sitting here saying all this common sense, okay, inside of us could have put that together. And yet Joe lists the common sense factors and at the end of that concluded, it's not enough information to draw a conclusion.
Okay, what a ridiculous circus liberals put on. Everything is racist except the crazy Islamic terrorist with the gun targeting some innocent Jews.
Yeah.
And at a time when the FBI's credibility is in the toilet, jumping on that particular little seesaw, probably not the smartest of all moves, guys. Unfortunately for the left, we're not so stupid that we can't figure out the obvious when it's right in front of our faces, right, whether they want us to or not. Brittany. And that's your reality check, America.
Well, man, thank you, Brittany, man. She always do it to me. She always get me all funny on the inside. I try to be keeping it down now. I don't want my feelings and stuff, but she's like that. So what she's saying is there is a concerted effort to suppress any type of news that might reveal or expose certain classes or groups of people. Because see, right now, I think the big goal is to focus heavily on white middle to upper class Americans. I think what they're doing with this Marxist tactic is presenting this reality to everybody, or this false reality, that only evil humans, because that is a huge population of humans that's standing in the way of them with their global domination. See, so they're not worried about the brothers in America. They ain't worried about the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans. They ain't worried about none of them. They're worried about middle to upper class white Americans. So any crime that doesn't involve middle class white Americans that they can call Nazis, racists, and stuff like that, then let's downplay that. Let's make it appear that the most evil folks on the planet is middle class, upper class, white male, American, white heterosexual male Americans. Okay, that's what it is. So now you get black folks who run over people at Christmas parades, and it's the carded thing. You get this dude who goes in there asking these questions about releasing other terrorists. And for some reason, we can't draw any conclusions. But we find out something else about that, y'all. Some new data that came in about that raid that the FBI made down there to get that dude out and to rescue those hostages. Listen to this, okay? He's from, I think, MRTV2. Let's see his view on what's going on with Biden and this whole thing and stuff like that. So here we go. Check it out.
While many commentators have been talking about different kinds of unrest in our country, prefaced by saying that this is what you get when you vote against a system that's working because, I don't know, mean tweets. And they're absolutely right, mind you. When you put all of those things together, you come to two conclusions.
What?
One, if you think that we're headed towards becoming a communist state, it may be too late. it seems we're already there, even though we as Americans still have more freedoms than anywhere else around the world.
And two, with you.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is Biden's America.
Biden's America? You mean tell me I woke up in this nightmare? Someone done stuck me in Biden's America? This is one of those situations I want to wake up and be happy as a dream. Every dream, is, if I'm dreaming, I'm still playing football. I wake up mad that it was just a dream. God dog it. I was just about to score a touchdown for the Steelers. Can't just, I'm going to go back to sleep and pick up where I left off, try to, you know, try to keep the dream going. Like but it don't work like that. But waking up to a nightmare, you're like, oh, thank God. Woo-hoo! That was a close one. For a minute, it seemed so real. Well, this nightmare, we can't wake up from. We sitting back like slapped myself several times like, this got to be a nightmare. But no. Yep, this is an ongoing nightmare. So let's see how it is living in Nightmare at Joe Street. Here we go.
No matter where you turn, no matter the societal or political subject you're talking about, there's currently no escaping what those of us with two eyes, two ears, and a functioning brain can see.
Like what?
That this is the America you get when far leftists run the place. Beijing Biden's campaign claim that he's a moderate who will unite the country is only partially true. It's false in the sense that nothing he or the people who control him have done could be considered anywhere close to moderate.
So now I have to give him points. Yeah, because see, on what that end, he's right. Joe's not a moderate. Well, actually, Joe is a moderate. But see, the problem is Joe's a puppet too. You can't be a moderate and a puppet at the same time. The problem with liberal Democrat politicians, they don't own their own thoughts or agenda. They line up with the queen bee or the whoever's running the wolf pack. That's what they do. So even if Joe is a moderate, he don't care. They made me president. That's all my legacy. Even though I'm the worst president ever, I still was a president for a couple days. All of that stuff. He don't care because he's walking away with billions of dollars after he retires if he makes it that far. But my point is all the rest of them, if you step out of line, you're going to become that Joe Manchin, that cinema where everybody's calling you whatever to get you back in line. So on one end, Joe can't even be a moderate. The people who control him are saying, dude, I don't care if you really would do things differently your way. No, man. You think we put you in there for that? Now sit your tail down before we put our hands on you, Joe. But then I have to give him credit for uniting us, y'all. Listen to this.
What is true is that he has done a fair bit of uniting the country, possibly faster than any president in our country's history. The only problem is that more and more Americans are united against his regime. Biden's a
freedom coming tomorrow. Let's go, let's go, let's go, Brandon. That's right. I feel like Serafina right now. Freedom is coming tomorrow. Let's go, let's go, let's go, Brandon. That's how I feel. See my African moves? Yeah. You got to do stuff like that, I'm pretty sure. All right, let's continue.
The approval rating, according to polling aggregate Real Clear Politics, is at an all-time low, and his do-nothing VP, Kamala, is even lower than that. These two are so unpopular that the left is actually contemplating having Hillary Clinton run again. Let's take a look at why and sit down for this, because when you put all of these different failures together, it not only makes the reaction to it shocking, but it'll most likely make you angry. First, and I want to get this out of the way because these people have become nothing more than an arm of the DNC, let's look at the establishment corporate media. CNN is basically turning a portion of their network into a televised arm of the Democratic Party by planning to create a quote-unquote team dedicated to covering misinformation.
What's that?
As we all know, all CNN would have to do to complete that mission is look in the mirror or just next door at their neighbor, the real Russian conspiracy merchants, MSNBC. CNN also had one.
Now, here's what I wonder about this new task force within CNN to combat fake news. Are they going to start with themselves, or does that also include fake news that come out of MSNBC, New York Times, any of that? Do you think they'll ever challenge anyone in the same genre? No. Work together. That is why you hear talking points over at MSNBC that are identical to the ones that come out of CNN. So when they say going to attack fake news. They might as well just come out and say, we're going after Fox narratives, we're going after Joe Rogan's narratives, we're going after independent folks on YouTube's narratives, we're going after OAN, we're going after Newsmax, we're going after MRTV, we're going after those folks. Because, see, those folks are digging into us for some reason. Could it be because you're obviously fake news? But see, they won't accept that. They won't accept that.
One of their many Democratic strategists, Paul Begala, do what Hollywood has already perfected. What? Deflect from any wrongdoing on Democrats' part and blame it on the fans, also known as their base.
I think the problem for the Democrats right now is not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers.
What? No.
Did you hear that, man? How are you going to insult? Oh, you know what? Now, they're deplorables, right? So the Democrats got to, these folks are something, man. Blame it on the blame it on the base. So let me see. You're blaming it on the Democrat base. That's what he's doing. So it's bad followers because they won't line up with our ideology, our agenda. How insulting is that? I mean, that alone would make me not vote for the Democrats, even if I was a Democrat voter. That they will let that guy get on this fake network and say that, like I'm supposed to be some darn animal. You know what the problem is, it's not you as the dog trainer. You've got bad dogs. Those dogs need to be broken because all dogs need to be obedient to their master. The arrogance in that statement, unbelievable. Unbelievable, but hey. That's how they really think. See, these are times where Freudian slips slip out. Hillary got caught. Half of them are deplorables. Then when they get caught and called out, oh, I didn't really mean that. Yes, you did. Yeah, you did. Here we go.
Possibly be us. It's just that you're too stupid to understand what we're trying to do. Begala, you idiot. They understand perfectly what you're doing, or at least near half of them do. MRC TV's Brittany Hughes reported on a Rasmussen poll that claims 48% of Democrat respondents say they, quote-unquote, think federal and state governments should be able to fine or imprison people who even question the government-funded pharmaceutical-enriching medical procedures that they're trying to force on everyone. Really.
So then half of their diabolical scheme is working on half of their base. All that programming, all that demonization, all that division, all that propaganda has gotten half of their base to the point where they're okay with us being jailed who don't get the you-know-what. Now you see how something like what Hitler did could work. You're seeing it real time. I mean, when I would watch those old shows and I would say, see them documentaries, and I go, wow, why did the German people have turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to us? You telling me all these German people, seeing them take away their friends? You know they were friends up until Hitler with Jews and stuff. I mean, I didn't hear anything about a whole bunch of fighting going on with the Jews and others over there during that time. Hitler comes along, starts the propaganda, desensitizes folk to be okay with seeing them going in, throwing something on their buddies or, hey, that's my neighbor. Where are you going with them? That's way. It's none of your concern. Lissell has his takings in somewhere else, back into your house. And these folks at some point was like, oh, you know what? That's the way it is. Nothing. So now we got half of their Democrat base feeling it's okay to throw folks in jail who don't get the shot. Now you see it? You're saying, I didn't think this would ever happen real time. Like, I'm here. This ain't historical. I'm living through the moment that folks are that dumb to buy into something like this.
Really? Half of Democrats? That's just the media and the animus they have for the people they pretend to care about. And I didn't even scratch the surface on them. Really? How about homelessness and crime?
Yeah, tell me about that.
I don't have to tell you. People like Tucker Carlson and those at local news outlets have been telling the story. See for yourselves.
What you're seeing now was shot this morning on Skid Row. Skid Row in L.A. is a 50-block neighborhood east of downtown. And it's hard to overstate just how dystopian it is. You should go for yourself sometime and drive through, roll them up. But watch. You will not believe this is America, the country you grew up in. This is what California got for $12 billion.
Wow. $12 billion got them basically homeless concentration camps. And you know what makes me mad? In these clips that he's showing, the majority of folks in there are, guess what? Black folks. Black folks. The Democrats' precious black folks. and minorities. I think they should set up camp right on Nancy Pelosi's lawn. That's what I think. Or perhaps have all these homeless folks and all of these illegal immigrants set up camps right on the Capitol's. Okay, yeah, yeah. Set them there so when Nancy get out of her limo to walk into the Capitol, she can step in some human feces. Yeah, maybe she can step on a dirty needle or something like that. That's what they need to do so they can be confronted with the mess that they've allowed to occur across the country.
Hmm. Not fewer homeless, just better funded homeless, and thousands more of them.
All
so like COVID and OxyContin and virtually everything else that's wrecking the country our ancestors built, this is a manufactured crisis. It didn't happen by accident. People paid for it.
The tents remain on Miller Playfield. The city's saying help is on the way.
When you walk in certain parts of the city, you can't even walk on the sidewalk.
There is more homelessness in this city than at any time since the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Since any time than the Great Depression. So all this money floating around, all of these great ideas, all of this resources, these so-called smart politicians who want to rule our whole country can't figure this out, can't solve this issue. Why should we put you in charge when what you already in charge over sucks? Why is Nancy Pelosi running around trying to throw Congress people and Trump and all of them in prison when her own state sucks? Why should I trust you? If I can't trust you with the little things, I'm not going to trust you with the big things. When me and my brother was growing up, my mom would help us in stages to learn certain responsibilities. Got us a goldfish. Said, let's see you go ahead and take the goldfish before we start talking puppies. Do you know my brother and I killed that goldfish almost immediately? Dang on it. We sitting there like, hey, Tony, let's see what will happen if we dump all the fish food in. Let's put it. Fish couldn't even see. He's in there swimming through food. Like, man, I like eating all, but it's all over. Kill that one. Got us another one. Flushed that one down the toilet. Got us another one. Didn't clean the bowl. He kicked the bucket because of probably some type of rare bacteria in his tank. We went through about 50 goldfish before we was able to develop responsibility. And then we get the puppy and had to start that all over again. It's your day to feed him. It's not my day. I'll have another day. I ain't feed him. He's just starved. Just let him go. And he'd go out and find his own food and come back home. My mom like, y'all don't take care of the dog. Y'all don't walk the dog. Nothing. You're not getting another dog. So why then should we give these folks more terms when the terms that they've had, they've destroyed stuff? This right here, I'm looking at is the ultimate resume. So before you vote, how about you go check the resume by riding through Skid Row? This is L.A., a place where folks used to go to vacation, place where everybody went, dude, I want to move to L.A. I heard it's popping out there. Now you're going, man, I heard it's dookie out there in the streets, needles in homeless camps. This is their resume. And somehow, Gavin Nuisance got back in.
As for crime, let's take the murder rate, for example. It's the highest it's been in 25 years since former President Bubba, I can't keep it in my pants, Clinton inhabited the Oval Office. The vast majority of our big cities, ironically all run by people of a certain political persuasion, saw record highs in homicides. 12 major cities hit all-time homicide records last year.
No, wait a minute, y'all. Y'all ready for this? Because, see, we're putting together a list of stuff. So he said 12 major cities saw record high homicides last year. So let me think. I'm thinking maybe Miami. No, let's see. Birmingham, Nashville, maybe, perhaps. Let me think. Those places like that. Uh-huh. All right, let's see which ones they really are.
According to ABC News, and they reported that with 3 weeks left to go in 2021, Portland, Oregon, Tucson, Arizona, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Austin, Texas, St. Paul, Minnesota, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, Toledo, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Rochester, New York, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania were all reported to have broken homicide records. Oh, and every single one of those cities, you guessed it, all run by Democrats. And I'm not even talking.
No way. Now, how do you explain that? I wonder, why are these dummies still voting for them? Why don't the people in those cities ever stop to look around their own environment and say, there's homelessness, murder, doo-doo, bad jobs, broken down schools, all of this stuff right here in my neighborhood. Who's running this? If I walked into a company where I'm supposed to be coming in and making a difference, and I go in and I see rats running around and roaches and dirt on the wall and all of that, pipes leaking, my first thing would be, okay, I'm here to clean this up. I want to find out who the person before me that I got to fire that was supposed to be running this joint and let it run down to this. And then yet you're thinking they're doing a great job. All you got to do is look over to a conservative state or city to draw that conclusion. Hey, why ain't they burning down stuff over there? Hey, why ain't they got folks with needles and stuff in their arms and over there on the streets? Why ain't they? Hey, that's what you should do. But you know why they don't do it? Propaganda, suppression of information, manipulation, gaslighting, all of those things.
Talking about other crimes. Chicago has seen carjackings reach record highs. In San Francisco, you can rob businesses, and as long as you don't steal too much, go right ahead. In New York, you can now take illegal drugs in government-sponsored safe houses.
Wow.
Again, I'm not even scratching the surface.
Not even.
And speaking of government and their ineptitude, I don't need to go too deep into it because we've all had just about enough of it, but mandates. Want to go to Hawaii on vacation? Not unless you've got at least three shots. Want to do pretty much anything in New York and the left coast?
Yes.
Sorry, do not pass go unless you like the knee of the government on your neck. Once again, not even scratching the surface.
Not even?
What about public schools, or as I like to call them, government indoctrination centers?
Yeah.
Heck, both teachers and students are using COVID as the reason that neither one of them want to actually go to school.
You mean to tell me the kids in the... teachers are working. Look, we all got to stick together. Now listen, y'all know I don't like teaching. Y'all get on my nerves. I mean, mostly y'all don't even like, okay, got maybe one or two smart ones in the whole group, but that's it. That is it. Now, I don't want to be here either. So here's what we're going to do. You don't want to be here, neither do we. How about y'all walk out and say you're afraid of COVID, and then on the other end, we'll do the same. Okay?
Okay.
That's what's happened only in their cities, though.
In cities across the country, teachers and their communist Red for Ed unions have made getting teachers inside classrooms basically a negative. Mm-hmm. And students who simply don't want to be there because they're kids are walking out of schools claiming they're not safe. And for the most part, they're right, just not because of COVID.
No.
How about grocery store shelves?
Grocery store shelves are empty yet again, and it could reportedly be months before they're stocked to normal levels.
I saw the pictures of empty shelves and the leftists who deny the same picture despite the visual evidence. And because I hadn't experienced it myself, I didn't take it too seriously.
Until?
Well, what do we always accuse the left of? Not taking anything seriously until it lands on their doorstep. Well, in my latest excursion to shop for food, I finally saw what a lot of people had already experienced.
What?
Now, all the shelves weren't empty, but if you wanted chicken or vegetables,
I like chicken.
Good luck, because there were practically none to be had unless you like the processed versions of those items. And that brings us to our intelligence agencies.
Oh, God.
Intelligence. Agencies that were supposedly constructed to keep the country safe,
yeah,
take actual criminals into custody and gather intelligence on our foreign enemies, not
me?
The average law-abiding citizen.
Oh, snap. This dude's reading everything about what's going on in Joe Biden's America, all under his watch. It's crazy to me that folks don't have the ability to look around and see how far we have fallen from grace. I mean, we are plummeting, beelining straight to the ground. Listen to the updated info about this whole thing that took place with those hostages in that synagogue, y'all. Here we go.
Now it seems that they're just another arm of the establishment.
That's exactly right.
Just take the Texas synagogue hostage situation, for instance. The FBI initially came out and said the radical Islamic terrorist wasn't targeting Jewish people until they came out a day or two later and said that, in fact, the now deceased extremist fundamentalist did intentionally target Jews. Why say anything at all if you're not sure or there's a possibility that what you're claiming isn't actually the case?
Because that's the style. See, because when you become a woke agency ran by a woke regime, your style is to always step out there and draw conclusions that fit your narrative, not real conclusions. They're conclusions that will either change the narrative, cover up a narrative, or create a false narrative, just like those guys down there whipping those Haitians. And Joe Biden didn't need to gather more facts for that. Isn't that funny? Kamala needed to gather more facts for that, just like Kyle Rittenhouse. They didn't need to gather facts for that. No. Just like Juicy Smollett. They didn't need to wait for the facts then. They drew every conclusion and concluded, this is a modern-day lynching. And then 10 for a, oh, what? He faked it? No comment. We're still waiting for more details to come out. I don't want to get ahead of this story. We'll see what is stuff like that. So what really happened in there? Here we go.
But that's not all. Now, the FBI has been caught in what looks like another lie concerning this case. The rabbi of the Congregation Beth Israel Synagogue did an interview in which he contradicted the FBI's claim that all the hostages were released. But Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker told a different story.
When I saw an opportunity where he wasn't in a good position, I asked, made sure that the two gentlemen who were still with me, that they were ready to go. The exit wasn't too far away.
Wait a minute.
I told them to go. I threw a chair at the gunman, and I headed for the door.
What?
And all three of us were able to get out without even a shot being fired.
So they escaped and weren't released as the FBI had claimed. Kudos to Town Hall's Matt Vespa for reporting on that. I can't say it enough. I haven't even...
So instead of... See? Can't trust them. Unravel. You got to tear down to build back up. They did everything they could to protect the narrative that this dude was a radical Islamic terrorist and probably was willing to kill folks. So they wanted him to look a little better. He let him go. Then why go out in a blaze of glory and let yourself be killed? That's my question. If you're going to let them go, why not just come out with them, throw down your gun? I'm coming out with the hostages. So you're telling me then that he let them go and then stayed in. Like, you want to come get me, okay? You think you can take me? You don't want me to take me, man. I take you all cell, okay? Want to play rough? That's how he went out? Or did he get hit in the back of the head? Like, oh, wait a minute. Don't, oh, the gun. That's what happened. Then the FBI came in and shot him. None of that makes sense. But what does make sense is you wouldn't want the narrative, if you woke, to appear that this guy was willing to kill everybody because he was a domestic terrorist. And instead, y'all tried to make it seem like he just came to his senses, y'all. Went through all of that. Drove all, came all the way from over the seas. Lived in that homeless shelter. Did all that planning. Only to let him go.
Even scratch the surface on intelligence community. That was one instance. Forget the NSA spying on you, the IRS discriminating against people of certain political beliefs, the FBI possibly inciting violent acts by placing themselves within political groups, and much, much more.
Yeah.
Folks, all of this, and I haven't even talked about what our federal government and the usual garbage who were elected to serve the people attempting to undermine and integrity we still have in our elections, their calls to target political dissidents and put them on lists, and their call to harass their political opponents in their private lives. There's no other way I can say it.
Except
this is Biden's America.
And I don't like it. I want to ask, okay, this is not the country that I love. This is not the country that I know. This man and his regime is bringing all of the stuff that this man just listed to our doorstep in record-breaking time. But guys, it don't stop there, y'all. We still got a few more minutes. Listen to this, y'all.
Nancy Pelosi is even more agitated tonight than usual.
She's not.
On a conference call just hours ago, Pelosi demanded that her members vote immediately on a piece of legislation. She
says, now, let me tell you something. Normally, I am very nasty. But right now, I'm the nastiest. Right now, I've reached my peak level of nastiness. That's right. I want to see bloodshed. So, therefore, I am commanding that we go to war, not to protect
at the border. No, no, not that. No, no. I want to go to war over somewhere else where I don't need to have my crooked teeth at. That's where she wants to go. So Nancy's being as nasty as she can be. She done became nastier, Nancy.
Is critical to our national security. The bill she's talking about, among other things, affirms the central importance of national borders. Well, of course it does. Without a border, you can't have a country. And Nancy Pelosi firmly believes that. In fact, she believes it so strongly. She's directing the Biden administration to develop an urgent new plan to keep the border secure. Not simply secure, but in the words of the new legislation, Section 208, inviolable. Yeah. Meaning impossible to breach, walled up and buttoned down, bulletproof. That's quite a border. But why wouldn't it be? When it comes to borders, Nancy Pelosi isn't messing around.
Right,
are you surprised to hear this? Well, he may have misunderstood. Pelosi isn't talking about the U.S. border, the one that's currently open. She's talking about the Ukrainian border, the one that actually matters. The bill Pelosi is promoting is called the Defending Ukraine Sovereignty Act.
What the crap?
Its purpose is to guarantee, quote, Ukraine's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity.
What's that got to do with
that? Things that all countries need. We'd love to have them here. But no, we're going to have to wait. Ukraine is ahead of us in the queue for secure borders. And honestly, you can see why. As they used to say when we were kids growing up in the United States, what's good for the lightly populated Russian colony of Ukraine is good for us. As our oldest and most cherished ally, yoked tightly to the American people by the ancient bonds of friendship, shared culture, and Burisma, Ukraine comes first. It has to come first. When caravans of undocumented Russians appear on the Ukrainian border, the United States doesn't sit idly by. The United States swoops in with deadly weapons push these people back.
Throwing our cape.
We'll send missiles to Ukraine if we have to. In fact, we already have billions of dollars worth. But wait a second, you ask.
Yeah, I do
ask. Isn't undocumented immigration a good thing?
That's what I thought.
Doesn't immigration increase diversity, the blessed source of all beauty, power, and strength?
Yeah, I thought so too, Tucker, because I've been listening to the Democrats for the last 6 years. We're a melting pot, and our country was built on immigration and all of that, and these people coming here for what? A better life. All of that. I've been listening to that. It's funny, though, how all of that melting pot melted when all of those Cubans want to come over here. Yeah, the pot was too hot at that point. I'm sorry. We're still cooking the ones that we can benefit with, okay? The pot's too hot right now. You guys got to wait your turn and do it the right way. Going back over to Gulf now. Unbelievable, man.
Well, sure. Most of the time it does, but not in Ukraine. Ukraine exists for the exclusive presence of Ukrainians. People who look or speak differently, people from other places with, say, different religions, are not allowed in Ukraine, period. That's Nancy Pelosi's position.
That's her position.
Ukraine is the one place Nancy Pelosi very much wants to keep racially pure. She's willing to use lethal force to do that.
What?
Virtually everyone in Congress agrees with Pelosi. So does the White House. Here's Joe Biden's deputy national security advisor explaining that when undocumented foreign nationals arrive in Ukraine, they'll be killed.
What?
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
Our borders should be inviolate. Our sovereignty should be respected, meaning Ukraine's. That man was Jonathan Feiner. He's Biden's deputy national security advisor. It's interesting to note that Jonathan Feiner has no relevant experience for the job he currently holds. And
none of them do. And this is the problem. Pete Buttigieg. Edge. He doesn't know what's going on. That man on paternity leave while the supply chain crumbles. You got the man, woman doctor who's supposed to be handling all of the medical stuff. You got Fauci who probably does know what's going on, but he's corrupt and he's not giving it to us real. You get dudes like this, no experience whatsoever. And here he is weighing in on matters of sovereignty and not weighing in on the matter of our own sovereignty, not even listening to our border patrol. Make all of these complaints about, listen, we done apprehended potential terrorists coming through this blew out border. And this dodo bird on here talking about, it's our main, start with home. This goes back to my example. If you can't take care of home first, then what are you doing? How are you going to apply for a job talking about, so I want to cut lawn and I ride past your crib and I can't even see your house because the grass is covering it. And so here we go.
At one point, he was a Washington Post reporter. That's reassuring. Most recently, he was cashing in at a private equity firm, paying approximately half the federal tax rate you are. Good for him. But one thing Jonathan Finer has learned along the way,
what,
is that Ukrainian borders matter. If you cross without permission, you'll be droned into the next life.
But what about ours?
Kamala Harris strongly agrees with that. Here's Harris threatening would-be Russian immigrants.
The bottom line is that we have been clear and consistent for quite some time that we respect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, and we expect that Russia would do the same, and any aggressive action taken by Vladimir Putin will be met with severe consequences.
See that look I got on my face, though? As soon as she speaks, immediately, one, everything comes out of her mouth, I feel, is a lie. But two, I wouldn't believe that threat whatsoever. I'm sure even Ukraine is probably like, claim y'all going to help us. Well, we'll see. At some point, the rubber is going to meet the road, and we're either going to put up or shut up. This is a mess we're in.
Severe consequences. The understatement is chilly. That woman is bloodthirsty. That's our borders are.
Yes.
Try to cross the border, and we'll take out your entire caravan.
Y'all
claim asylum? What's asylum? Huh? Don't think so. One toe over the line, and you're dead.
Yeah, they strict. They strict.
Those are strong words, but Kamala Harris appears to mean them. She probably does mean them. But again, you should know that Kamala Harris is not talking about our border here in the U.S.
What?
She's talking about the Ukrainian border. Now, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Well, the Ukrainian border, by contrast, is a place the Pentagon is willing to defend. Watch.
Okay.
8,500 U.S. military personnel on heightened alert. Is this the ceiling of military personnel that the administration will be committing to this conflict, do you see?
Well, it's what we're talking about today is about 8,500 on heightened alert. But as I said yesterday, we're certainly not going to rule out other options. Our job is to provide options to the president, to the commander in chief, and we're going to continue to do that. And so I would, I certainly would not rule out the possibility that we could be putting additional forces on heightened alert in the coming days and weeks, and maybe even moving troops around Europe that are already there to bolster and to assure some of our eyes on the ground in the on the continent.
Wait, we're only sending 8,500 American troops to protect the Ukrainian border? Asked the teleprompter. Well, says John Kirby, actually, we could send a lot more. They're all poised to secure the sacred Ukrainian border. So you may be wondering, how does that commitment compare to what the Pentagon is willing to deploy to our southern border?
Yeah.
Well, let's see a little back of the envelope math here.
Okay.
So it's exactly 8,500 more because there are no troops. Troops heading to our southern border. That may seem distressing to you, but in a way it makes sense. Ukraine needs the troops. Ukraine hasn't been invaded yet. We have been invaded, and we lost.
See? Tucker's making too much sense. That burns me up, man. These are the things that are misinformed, disinformed, ignorant citizens allow these people to get away with. People walking around just not paying attention to what's going on around the world, what's going on in their country, if you don't live at a border, all this stuff that these corrupt folks are allowing to take place in our country as folks are coming across our border and zero folks are put on their border. Do you understand? We're about to put 8,500 plus folks over there just in case a skirmish break out on Ukraine's border. But they've committed no one down on our own border. Imagine what 8,500 of our own soldiers would do if we line them across that border. I bet you Xi would do that. If he felt a whole bunch of Japanese kept coming into China, he would line his military across the whole border of China to make sure that don't happen. Yeah, you could come all right if you're willing to die trying. Same thing with Russia, North Korea, and many other sovereign countries. And yet, the country that boasts to have the most technology, the most powerful military, all of that stuff, they downplay that because they say we have the most compassion, we have the most diversity. All of those are catchphrases and buzzwords and euphemisms and stuff to really say, we want illegal immigrants to come over here to destroy the way our culture functions, to dilute the vote from all of these folks who no longer vote for us. We want them to come over here to have that cheap labor going to all of the folks who donate to our campaigns. And we're going to fix that garbage up and throw on it to say it's diversity, melting pot, compassion. How about you stick on greed? Stick that on there. Power hungry, stick that on there. Evil, stick that on there. Selling out your country, stick that label on there. Not caring about your own citizens, stick that label on there. These folks are horrific. We're going to close out, since we're learning about Joe Biden's America, none other than someone who you all know and love, y'all. Mark Levin.
Your own intelligence community has said that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
It took the Taliban just 1 week to regain control of Afghanistan.
The opening to his clip is hilarious. Wait a minute, y'all. Listen to this again.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
It took the Taliban just 1 week to regain control of Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Dude, that's the biggest. You know what that is? That is like a boxer or MMA fighter talking trash. You know, we heard that your opponent said that he's going to knock 3 seconds of the fight. That's not true. That ain't happening. Ding. Completely knocked out. Completely knocked out. So here he is. That's not true. And in a few hours, they're in control of the whole country.
Unfolding very quickly. This is really an American catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Secretary of State Blinken declaring this is manifestly not Saigon.
Afghans who helped the West now fearing for their lives.
10,000 civilians, SID applicants, millions more are left behind.
And then this.
And Mark is sitting there watching this montage that his people put together. Yeah, because he's about to give it to him right after the montage finishes. Now listen, the reason he's letting everybody see this montage and all his commentary is because we just heard Joe the other day doing his fake behind press conference say that he wouldn't change a thing. Everything he did about this was right, even the fake news. Let's hear the opinions of the folks that were impacted by this. Tell it. Mark, thanks for putting this.
Several fell from the sky. African mothers passing their children to American soldiers over an airport wall.
It is insane. There are people holding their American passports.
I can't believe we're all dead in Afghanistan. Our friends are going to get killed.
The Taliban now has a list of people who were working for the American state as victims into a killer.
It's a suicide attack. 120 people have been injured. U.S. troops.
We respond with force and precision at our time, in the place we choose, in the moment of our choosing.
Did that ever happen? We'll respond with force and at our time, in the place of our choosing. Why didn't that happen? Well, I didn't, last I heard, they were making excuses, saying stupid stuff like the reason Americans left behind there is because they probably wanted to stay. Oh, gosh. They need to go.
Seven innocent children and three innocent adults dead.
Y'all hear that? Thanks for putting that in there, Mark. Extraordinary success! How can you even say that with a straight face? Here you are, CEO of a company. The stock bottomed out. Our profit loss was 70%. And you going there to the board. This year has been extraordinarily successful. Straight face.
You once said, America, the light of the world. How do you feel about America now?
America not only has lied to the Afghan people, it's lying to itself. I mean, the betrayal is not the collapse of an system only. The betrayal is about of millions of people. I mean, who is going to take the words of this administration and probably the future administration seriously. Who?
Do you have any words for President Biden or former presidents who have all led us to where we are now?
I tell them to ask their children, grandchildren, I ask them their neighbors to write them a piece of one-page history of America and as far as Afghanistan is concerned. That will be like a mirror in front of them to see the reality.
And that's the problem. The Biden administration will never go ahead and point at them. They're going to point their finger. Man got up there, just straight up, told us when it did nothing different. Nothing. But that montage right there, all listed. Folks said, what are you doing? What are you doing? So either Joe has never been allowed to watch the fallout in all of those clips, or he really in his mind believes he did nothing wrong because he don't even remember doing what he did in the first place. What? I told him to withdraw. When did I do it? Or he does know. And he got just enough cognitive ability to say, I'm going to lie through my teeth, belittle all the lives that were lost, and belittle the intelligence of the American population looking at that debacle, even the fake news. And that's why Mark is about to destroy him as we go.
Well, God knows what's going on there now. Horrendous things, horrific things. You see how they grab these young men off the street and they hang them by their necks till they're dead. You see what the women there, you even call some dead children, because the Taliban represents a population of 15% of the country, mostly the far off rural areas, mountain people, that sort of thing. They've been trying to pose their will on the rest of the country for a long time, as you see, and they've succeeded. The vast majority of people in Afghanistan are not of the Taliban. They're not throwbacks of the 7th century. We now get reports that Iran is working with the Taliban.
Evil senses evil. This is what our weak regime has done. They've allowed evil entities to come together. That is why I really believe some of this is preparing us for biblical proportion type events that's going to take place. When you start looking at the book of Revelations and prophecies and stuff, certain things must take place and be put in place for it all to unfold anyway. So now you notice certain alliances seem to be coming together. And yet here we are threatening Russia. Now, this is a great opportunity for China to step in and say, hey, Russia, don't worry about it. We see what the West is doing. We got your back. Great time for China or Russia. If I was Putin, I'd be going, wait a minute. So all of NATO is acting a fool against me. You are threatening me. China don't want the U.S. Being the big dogs anymore either. It might be in my benefit to say, well, I'll tell you what, y'all going to gang up on me. Hey, China, you down with us? Looking at all these countries, Iran, all of that, the boldness and the alliances that are starting to form, none of that mess was happening under Trump, and they called him the Antichrist. I would chuckle every time folks would tell me that. Man, Trump, man, he the Antichrist. What? The Antichrist will be beloved by everyone. Do you think everybody? Our own media hated that dude, and they're talking about him. He's the Antichrist. Worst Antichrist I ever heard of, given making sure the embassy was moved to Jerusalem. Some Antichrist doing stuff supporting the Jews, kicking off the whole Arab nation. Some Antichrist. Yeah. Talking about Christianity all the time. Even Christ, when folks come to the church praying, going to church, lay hands on them. Never seen that before, but he's the Antichrist. Now Mark has to finish it.
In a significant way. And we also have reports that Biden is giving the Taliban government, as they call it, the regime, over $300 million in aid. I mean, we've got the amateur team out there.
Did you hear that? So not only did he bounce, not only did he let our soldiers get blown up, not only did he leave Americans behind, not only did he leave all of our weapons there for them? Now he's sending $300 million plus dollars over there for aid. For aid for who? The Taliban? For more terrorists? For more weapons? This is the dumbest leadership. You know what? These are those moments where you feel so small in a bigger scheme of things. You go, why would you give all that power to dumb, stupid people to make these dumb, stupid decisions? You almost feel like your dumb decisions is going to impact my life. I'm upset because it's all out of my hands to a degree. Now I got to trust smart voters to stop all of this stuff. And from what I've gathered, we got enough of them. Jeez, oh man. Okay, let's continue.
Ideologues, they don't put America first. They don't put our allies first. And this has done grave damage to the people of Afghanistan. This has done grave damage to people who are suffering all over the world under regimes like this. And it's going to do grave damage to the United States of America. Why do you think Putin and Xi and the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran and Un in North Korea has launched two missiles? Why do you think they're aggressive? They don't fear us. They don't respect us. And they certainly don't fear or respect Joe Biden. And the more he talks to them directly, the more nervous I get, because it's apparent to them what's apparent to us. He's incapable of being president of the United States. And so the media pushed Biden into the Oval Office, pushed the administration to the Oval Office, does not give it the kind of review and examination and reportage that is necessary to hold them to account.
Man, Mark, I love him. That's why he's the great one. Dude's accurately breaking this down. They don't respect us no more. Do you think when they sit back and they see Joe Biden talking or having that press conference with Putin, I guarantee, do you understand folks like Putin? Even common sense folks can come into a room and read so much about you in a matter of seconds. Body language, tone, voice, you know, all of that. Biden sitting there slunched over, barely able to breathe, always looking down, always apologizing, always surrendering his power. No, I better not. I better not say it. You know, I was going to say something, but, you know, I better... I'm going to get in trouble. They told me to bring out a list. You know how quick I would be like, I'm about to eat you in the wild. So it would take seconds of a person like Putin to sit in front of him and size him up and say, oh, yeah, it's our time. It's our time. Ah, boy, here we go. Finish it, Mark.
Democrat Party's all in. They could care less. They're so busy trying to fundamentally rejigger and reengineer our own society in this country in a horrendous way. They've divided us. They've weakened us. They undermine our military with critical race theory. They undermine our cops. That's the story you're well aware of. And this is the situation we're in right now, a country that's getting weaker, a culture that is splintering, a civil society that's becoming uncivil. The rest of the world sees it, including our allies. Taiwan sees it. They are under grave threat from communist China, the way Hong Kong was. Israel sees it. They're under grave threat from Iran and Syria and other enemy countries in that region of the world. It's bad news.
So Mark just went ahead to close us out. Every single clip that I play tonight is seeing it accurately. That makes me have to put on my Rocky hood. I need to hear those bells. Ding, bing. We got to go ahead and make sure that we go 100% hard for 2022 midterms. Because if we can't get a new president in before then, we need to switch over the power in Congress to stop this chaos. It got to be done, man. Right now, they got too much power. They got the ability to do all kind of stupid stuff. And granted, we had enough grace for them to